in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Service for the month of June with a prophetic cutting edge. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Give me Psalm 93, verse 3. Listen, you will pay for this service. You will pay. Tell your neighbor, you will pay for this service. But it's not money, it's not physical money. You will pay with. Shall I tell you what you will pay? Attention. Somebody say attention. That's exactly what you will pay. See, if you must receive from God, if you must profit from the word of God, if you want to profit from the power of God, then you must learn to pay close attention. In fact, impartations cannot even happen without the law of focus. One of the laws of impartation I taught you is the law of what? Focus. Before Peter ministered and released the healing power of God to the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, Peter said, look on us. And the Bible said the man gave them attention, expecting to receive something from them. He gave heed unto them. That you can see attention there and you can see focus. It's a principle. One of the worst enemy of your receiving is distractions. Distractions. It can come in many forms. Sometimes, if the devil knows that you are about to receive your breakthrough or your word is about to come in a prophetic meeting like this, or the power of God is about to be ministered to you, do you know 1 or 2, 3 seconds before then, Satan will just do something to distract you so that moment, that prophetic moment will pass without you receiving. It may even be your phone. Your phone may ring or something, or your neighbor may just... let me tell your neighbor, please don't distract me in this service. Praise God. You see, Satan is a master strategist in terms of orchestrating distraction. Say with me, I refuse to be distracted. I maintain unbroken focus on God. He said, my son, attend to my word. In other words, give my word undivided attention. The Lord told me, as I preach and as I teach, miracles will be taking place. healings will be taking place. Listen, in this service there shall be workings of miracles. You didn't hear me. I say in this service here and now there shall be workings of miracles, and diverse miracles. Healing miracles, financial miracles, miracles in your business, your career, your job, all manner of miracles. Am I communicating? And the power of the Lord is present to provoke miraculous manifestation. Thank you, Father. So, pay full attention. In Psalm 107 verse 20, the Bible says, He sent forth His word. Fools were afflicted because of their iniquities, and they are now suffering from terminal disease. Their soul is drawing closer to the gate of hell. Then they cried to God, and God in His mercy, He sent forth His word. And His word, what? Healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Listen, everything God in heaven on the throne, everything God can do while seated on the throne in heaven, His word can do, because God and His word are one and the same thing. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Everything God can do, His word can do. The only thing His word cannot do is what He Himself cannot do. When those fools that were suffering affliction and were suffering from terminal disease, now they are about to die, their soul is drawing close to the gate of hell, then they cried out to God, and God decided to show them mercy. The Bible says He sent. How did God respond to their cry, to their prayer? He said, this is how God answers your prayer. He answers your prayer by anointing His servant to bring His word your way. And the word being preached, the gospel being preached, is what carries the solution, is a solution package to all your problem. Am I communicating? You must learn to receive it with the attitude of faith, with the attitude of joy, with the attitude of faith, meekness, gladness. Am I communicating? David said, I rejoice over your word like one that has found a great spoil, because he knows that the word is the ultimate solution to all human problems. God's word is God's universal panacea. Am I communicating? He sent His word. God did not need to jump from heaven and come down. He what? Sent His word. Because everything He can do, His word can do. In fact, all that God does, He does through His word. Am I communicating? All that God does, He what? Even when the anointing is released, when the power of God is released, is to confirm the word that is being preached, is to confirm the teaching of the word, is to confirm the preaching of the word. In Mark 16:20, don't go there, the Bible said they went and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them. As they were preaching the word, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, their invisible partner, was walking with them, confirming the word that is from Him. With what? Signs and wonders. So signs and wonders are testament that the word of God being preached is from God. Are you listening? I say Psalm 93 verse 3. Is it the floods have lifted up, O Lord? The floods have lifted up their voice. Now flood in this context represent difficulties. The flood in this context is representing problems, challenges. It may be sickness, it may be oppression, it may be financial difficulty, it may be debt, it may be stagnation, failure, frustration, whatever. Am I communicating? The flood here represents problems, predicament, troubles. It says the flood have lifted up, oh Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. Do you know problems have a voice? They talk to people. They talk to you. Those challenges of life. He said they have lifted up their voice. The flood lift up their waves. Then look at verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Kai. Kaligo barakataya. God have sent me your way. He has anointed and sent me to announce to you that look, it doesn't matter the problem or the challenge you are going through. It is not bigger than your God. He says the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. The many waters there is representing difficulties, problems, predicament, sickness, pain, frustration, sorrow. Am I communicating? Whatever you are going through that is making noise. You know, problem can make noise because they want attention. When the challenges of life, the problems of life, when they hit you, they make a lot of noise. They want your attention. They want you to always think about them. They want to dominate your mind. They want to dominate your thinking. But the good news is that the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. Can you shout amen? He said, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. God is greater than your issue. I say God is greater than your problem. I say God is greater than your predicament. And the good news is that that God is in this service. He has come to fix your issue. He has come to meet your need. Are you listening? Listen to this. No matter, yesterday I was preparing and this came to me. He said, no matter the size and the duration of your problems and predicament, they can never be bigger than the power of God to meet. Listen, no matter the magnitude and the duration of your problems and predicament, they can never be bigger or greater than the power of God to handle. Shaleko bosa balakata. See, never come to a state in which you begin to think that your problem is bigger than the power of God to handle. You know, sometimes when people have suffered certain problem for a long time, all these problems of long continuance, affliction, problems, challenges that have lingered for long, unconsciously, the people suffering it, they will come to a state in which they will now start thinking that their problem is bigger than the power of God. They won't say it with their mouth, but unconsciously their mind is programmed to accept the problem that there is no hope again. So they become hopeless. They are no longer thinking that the power of God can handle this issue. Maybe they have tried before and it didn't work. Unconsciously they have accepted defeat. Unconscious, never be found in that kind of state that you are now nursing that sickness, as in you have accepted it, you have taken ownership, you are no longer looking for any hope of healing or deliverance. Are you listening? The Bible said the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. I don't care how long the issue has been with you, I'm anointed to announce to you that tonight the power of God will swallow it up. I said the power of God will swallow up the issue in the name of Jesus. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. The woman with the issue of blood, how long has she suffered that affliction? The Bible said 12 long years until she encountered Jesus, and that was the end. It was game over. Just like it is game over for your problems tonight. I say it is game over for your issues tonight. As you encounter Jesus in this place, his presence and power is causing every problem to expire. Every challenge is expiring by fire. In the name of Jesus. The man that was at the pool of Bethesda, how long has it suffered that predicament? The Bible says how many years? He has been there for how long? 38 long years. Very few people are up to 38 years. Yeah. Not many are up to 38. Let me not say very few. Praise God. Some people are not up to 38 years. Imagine somebody suffering affliction, sickness for 38 years. The guy was bedridden, waiting for the stirring of the water. Every single time he tried, year in, year out, another will step it in before him until Jesus showed up. Oh, Jesus is showing up for you tonight. I say Jesus is showing up for you tonight. And his mercy is seeing you through. His mercy and power is bringing you out. So never accept defeat. Never become hopeless about your case. Am I communicating? No matter how chronic the chronicity of the issue, no matter the magnitude of the matter, the good news is that it is never bigger than the power of God to handle, and God is going to crush it. Can you shout amen? Amen. Write this down. Dominating with the rod of power. I'll be speaking briefly. Dominating with the rod of power. Genesis 1:26. After God created man, the Bible says, and God, Genesis 1:26, very fast, and God said, let us make man in our image, after the likeness, after our likeness, let them have dominion. Somebody say dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Jump to 28, because of time. 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Man was created for dominion, for rulership, to rule and reign over the earth realm. Am I communicating? Originally, Adam was a governor general over the earth. He was a God-ordained ruler. He was the dominus. Am I communicating? He said, let them have dominion. Man was not created to be dominated. Man was created to dominate. Kito barakataya. Then Psalm 110. Okay, we'll come to order. Psalm 110 from verse 1. Psalm 110 verse 1. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And he said what? Rule thou, my God. Rule thou. Did he say negotiate? Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. I once had an encounter some years back in which the Lord was reading this Psalm 110. I was seeing it like this, being projected in that prophetic encounter. And it started from verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And then it now came to verse 2. He says, the Lord came to verse 2. He said, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. I was hearing the Lord reading it out. And I was seeing the scripture and the verse like a scroll before me. And then it came to verse 2. It says, the Lord shall send the rod, not stick, rod of thy strength. He's talking of that strength means power. Am I communicating? That strength, we have a series here, Rod of Power. We preach a series, right? What year was that? Praise God. He says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength or the rod of thy power out of Zion. And then what do you do with that rod of power? He says, rule thou. You cannot rule without the rod of power. And guess what? The Hebrew word translated rule here is the same Hebrew word we read in Genesis 1:26 and 28 when God said, let them have dominion. The Hebrew word for dominion is radar. In Genesis 1:26 and 28, radar is the same Hebrew word used for rule here. It's still radar in the midst of the enemies. So instead of rule, you can safely substitute dominate thou. Dominate thou in the midst of thy enemies. Rule thou with the rod of power, the rod of strength. Am I communicating? In that vision, when it came to that last phrase, and then the Lord shouted it, rule thou in the midst of the enemies, and the power of God came upon me in that vision. Ayagabarakataya. Life is a game of power. You need to understand. Listen, life is a game of power. Life is a game of power. It takes power to rule in this life. It takes power to ascend your throne. Listen, oh, nobody will give you space. It takes power to dispossess the enemy. It takes power to displace rebel holders, the occupant, illegal occupant of your possession, the rebel holders of your inheritance in Christ. It takes power to dislodge them. It takes power to dispossess them. It takes power to ascend your throne and sit on your throne and put your leg on the neck of the enemy. Life is a game of power. The stronger rules, the weaker is dominated and oppressed. Life is a game of power. The weaker ones, they end up as victims. The stronger ones, they rule and dominate. The weaker ones, bankrupt of power, they end up being oppressed, suppressed, subjected, and morose. Am I communicating? It is dangerous to walk through this life without power. This earth is a wicked world. You see, the earth is not wicked. The world is not wicked because God created it that way. No. Ab initio, the earth was not wicked. There was no wickedness in this world. We all know the proud sponsors of the wickedness in this world is the kingdom of darkness. The reason why there is so much wickedness in the world is because of the presence of what? Satan and his kingdom. The kingdom of darkness. Are you aware there are more demons than human beings on planet earth? In this world, are you aware? And all of them are on a mission, satanic mission, demonic mission, to steal, kill, destroy, to oppress, to afflict, to carry out satanic purposes and program. The world population is just 7.9 billion, 7.8 billion, that is rough figure. Let's just assume 8 billion. But do you know there are more demons than the 8 billion people on earth? Are you aware? You see, sometimes God opens my eyes in the spirit. You see people walk, but if you see with optical normal eyes, you will see them alone. But if you see in the spirit, you see that they are not alone. No. They are moving with some demons. They are moving with some evil spirits. All manner of demons. Demons that are responsible for damaging and frustrating their lives. Am I communicating? Life is spiritual. But the good news is that even though the number of demons exceed the human population, the good news is that there are more angels of God than the demons on earth. I said there are more angels of God. And these angels are on a mission for your favor. They are here to minister for you. Are you getting me? There are more angels sent forth to minister for God's children in the earth realm than even the demons. So watch this. The number of demons outnumber, okay, the demons outnumber human population, but the angels outnumber the demons. So you don't need to be afraid. They that be for us are more than they that be with them. If God be for us, who can be against us? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee to keep thee in all thy ways. There are more angels ministering for you, helping you. Are you listening? Than the number of demons assigned to frustrate and to spoil your life. So you don't need to be afraid. All you need to do is to cooperate with the angels. They will handle the demons. They will put them where they belong. Am I communicating? We are not victims in this life. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said, listen. Okay, should we start from verse 7? Okay, give me from verse 7. Let me show you something. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father, okay, has put in his own power. Okay, give me from verse 6. I want to show you something interesting. The last promise Jesus gave the disciple before he ascended to heaven, after his resurrection. After Jesus resurrected, the Bible says for 40 days he was on earth, true of us. He was speaking and teaching things concerning the kingdom of God. Then, just before he ascended, the last thing he promised. What was the last thing he promised? Let's look at it. When they therefore, Acts 1 verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were talking of the physical kingdom. That's, they were asking whether is this the period for the millennial reign? Because Jesus in his second coming, he will come after defeating the devil and Satan will be bound and put in bottomless pit. Am I communicating? The Bible says Jesus will reign in Jerusalem for a period of 1,000 years. Jerusalem will become the headquarters of the world. What the Bible calls the millennial reign of Christ. That is at his second coming. So this is the first coming of Christ, right? The disciples were asking, is this the time in which that thing that is supposed to happen in the millennial reign, is it now that it will happen? Will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? But of course, this is not the time, right? Look at Jesus' response. Next verse. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. Okay, because it's the Father that will decide when Jesus will come back. Am I communicating? The Father will decide that both the rapture and the second coming and then the millennial reign will follow. Then look at verse 8. Jesus said, look, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Remember, earlier he told them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, true of us. He knows that you cannot preach the gospel successfully without power. They needed the necessary spiritual infrastructure. Am I communicating? For them to be successful in their mission, they needed supernatural empowerment of the Holy Ghost. Jesus knows that attempting to preach without the power of the Spirit is going to be a flat failure. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in what? In power. Praise God. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Is this not the ascension? Okay, let me come back to the question. What was the last thing Jesus promised the disciple before he ascended to heaven? What was the last thing he promised? Ye shall receive. Did you notice? Let me even surprise you. It was not even heaven he promised them before he ascended. The last promise was not even going to heaven. Did you notice that? That's why I had to read it first before I come here. The last thing God promised was not even going to heaven. The last thing he promised is what? Ye shall receive power. You know why? Because he gave us an assignment. How else will you carry out the great commission without power? Is it not through the preaching of the gospel empowered by the Spirit that we win more souls? Listen, why didn't God kill you the day you got born again? And why didn't he kill you and take you to heaven? Why did he leave you? Talk to me now. He said it. He told us. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And what was the assignment? Go ye into what? All the world. So when you got born again, you were given an assignment. You were sent on a mission. Am I communicating? Jesus said, go reach out to your world for me with the gospel. He gave you an assignment. And to fulfill this assignment, to carry out this mission, he knows that you need power. That was why he had to give this last promise before he was taken to heaven. Ye shall receive power. Because he knows that there is an opposition. Though he told you to go and preach, though he gave us an assignment, he knows that the kingdom of darkness headed by Satan will do everything in their power to try to stop us, to oppose the preaching of the gospel. It's demons that hold people bound. It's Satan that is holding people in bondage to sin, bondage to captivity, preventing them from accepting the gospel, keeping them in darkness. It's the devil. And you don't negotiate with Satan. You don't negotiate with him. He doesn't open the door of his prison to his prisoners. Satan will not just let them go like that. His captives. He's the one keeping people bound to sickness, bound to sin, bound to poverty, failure, frustration, pain, sorrow. All this is the handiwork of the enemy. But the Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of Man, Son of God, was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And it takes power to undo what Satan has done. He said, you shall receive power. It takes power to clear off every opposition. He says, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. What are you using to rule? Somebody say, rod of power. We dominate with the rod of power. Psalm 66 verse 3. He says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. For through the greatness of thy power shall what? Thy enemies submit themselves. The enemy does not submit to grammar. Demons don't respect grammar. See, this generation doesn't have time for grammar. They want result. Am I coming? We don't owe the world explanation. We owe them power demonstration. Are you listening? Christianity is a power parade. Without the power of the Spirit, I'm telling you, Christianity is like another dead religion. And there are over 4,000 to 10,000 religions in the world. Without power, Christianity is another dead religion that will offer no help to anyone. Am I communicating? Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness. Somebody say greatness. The power of God is greater than your problem. Oh, the power of God is greater than your sickness. Oh, and I'm telling you, your problem is bowing to that power. Your sickness, your pain, your frustration is bowing to the superior power of God. It takes power to crush the work of the enemy. He said, through the greatness, not smallness, of thy power, shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. Poteke barakataya. It's good to go to school. It's good to have degrees. It's good to have master's, PhD, and even be a professor. But can I tell you something? Those things, they don't mean anything to demons. They don't mean anything. I've seen professors oppressed, heavily oppressed. Are you listening? Demons don't answer to grammar. It takes more than Queen's English. Keliko Barakataya. Demons have no respect for so many things that we respect in the earth realm. The language that they understand is the language of power. The only language demons understand is the language of power. Satan is a wicked oppressor. There is no any other way of handling him than the raw power of God. That's what he bows to. Am I communicating? Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. God will do terrible things in righteousness in your life. He said, for through the greatness of thy power, through the greatness of thy power, shall thy enemies submit themselves to thee. They shall surrender. They will bow. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Then give me verse 7. Jump to verse 7. Psalm 63 verse 7. It says, God ruleth Aya. God, he ruleth by his power. For what? For how long? Do you know why nobody can dethrone God? Have you ever heard of Satan tried it? How did he end? Eh? There is no coup d'etat that can remove God from his throne in heaven. You know why? Because he ruleth by his power forever. The day a stronger being than God will ever arrive, maybe that one can displace God. It takes power not just to ascend and sit on your throne. It takes power to secure your throne. So that you are established gidigba, like Olumo Rock. Unmovable, unshakable. Are you listening? Kalibora Sapalatia. It takes power to rule. It takes power to rule. In any realm, it takes what? Power to rule. Shekilo Boko Tobaya. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. How does God handle rebellion? With power. God fixes the problem of rebellion with his power. When Satan, the first rebel, tried to make noise in heaven, how did God handle him? God did not even need to fight. All God needed to was to empower Angel Michael, an archangel. The Bible said there was war in heaven. Eh? Satan and his the dragon and his those fallen angels that sided with him, they fought against Michael and his angel. God did not need to fight. I say God did not need to fight. What does that show you? That Satan is not even God's mate. Please, when they are doing word and opposite, don't be saying what's opposite or go. What's opposite of sit? Stand. What's opposite of walk? Run, ba? When they say what's the opposite of God, please, no mention devil. No even mention devil. He's no match for God. Too small. Satan was an archangel. He was an angel. A cherubim. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered it. He's not a God. He's not God. He never reached that level. He's in the class of the angels. You know, people fear the devil so much. They dignify Satan as if na God meets. Satan is not God's mate. That was why God did not, God fighting him. Abba, you just imagine. You understand? Even if God finally wins self, just imagine, say Satan hold his leg, he bend down small like this, he hit him small like this. It's an embarrassment. He's too big to fight Satan. He just delegated the task. He said, Michael, help me handle him. It was Michael, oh. And trust Michael, he finish him. He summarized Satan. Are you listening? Kaligo Barakataya. Michael defeated Satan, bundled him out of heaven, threw him down. Katula Balatia. Neither was his place found no more. He fought against the dragon, and the dragon prevailed not. And because he did not prevail, his place was found no more. In life, for you to have any place, you must first prevail. Just like Jacob, he said, as a prince, has that power with God and power with men, and you have prevailed. And his name changed to Israel. And he became the patriarch. Even the nation, they now call it children of Israel. Are you seeing that? Let me preach it to your neighbor again. Satan is not God's mate. They are not mates. Stop thinking that they are mates. You know, sometimes I watch Nigerian movies, I even get angry. The thing they pay me sometimes, when I see what they are acting. See, we need to educate these producers. We need more producers, movie producers with understanding of kingdom, of the word of God. You understand? Light and darkness, they are not quarreling. The Bible said the light shineth in darkness. John 1 verse 5. And the darkness comprehended it. Have you ever seen light and darkness fighting before? Instead of causing the darkness, just turn on the light. That's all. Okay, let me catch some people now. What is the opposite of light? You see, there are some things they taught you in school. You need to exist. Behave like this today. Listen, what is the opposite of what? Light. Darkness is not the opposite of light, it's the absence of light. Because the moment light shows up, it naturally dominates darkness. Light will naturally dominate darkness any day, anytime, anywhere. Once light shows up, that's the end of the reign of darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the good news is that we are in the kingdom of light. We are in the kingdom of light. God, our Father, is called the Father of lights. And he calls us the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city, not a village, set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Then he said, let your light so shine before men. Stop hiding your light. Let it shine. Your light shining talks about supplying solution, valuable solution, solving problem. Am I communicating? Meeting people's needs. It talks about leadership. Your light shining talks about influence, impact. Are you listening? A life of influence, a life of impact, a light of relevance. Praise God. Very fast, let's look at some dimensions of this dominion. We are talking about dominating with the rod of power. Let's look at some dimensions of this dominion. Number one is dominion over nature. The first dimension of dominion is what? Dominion over nature. That's natural laws. Dominion over natural laws. Listen, there are natural laws put in place by God himself that govern the universe. There are some natural laws that govern the universe. Am I communicating? Gravity, for instance, is a natural law, right? Law of flotation, Archimedes principle, all of that is natural law, right? Can we? Praise God. Praise God. Okay, just hold. Shall I change it? Thank you, sir. Praise God. Don't be distracted. Just pay attention. I said gravity is a natural law. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus ascended, what happened to the law of gravity? That natural law called gravity. Is it because gravity no longer exists? So what happened? Look up. There are natural laws in the earth realm that governed the earth, but their superior spiritual laws, their higher supernatural laws that can dominate these natural laws. So the way and manner that we walk in dominion over nature and these natural laws is by engaging the higher spiritual and supernatural laws of God. Are you listening? When Jesus ascended, it's not because gravity no longer exists, but what happened was that Jesus operated with a higher law, the law of faith, the law of the spirit of life, and by operating with a higher spiritual law or supernatural law, he dominated that law of gravity. That's the first dimension of dominion. He dominated that law of gravity and he ascended. Am I communicating? How did Virgin Mary conceive and become pregnant and give birth to baby Jesus without the contribution of a man's sperm? Is it not God that put in the laws of reproductive biology that said for any baby to be born, there must be union, fertilization of the egg by the sperm? Is it not the natural law of God? But look at what the angel said when Mary inquired. He said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know no man? That's, I've not had sex with any man. Now, look at what angel Gabriel told her. He says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and there shall be spiritual supernatural insemination. I'm trying to paraphrase. And the impossible shall be made possible. Can you see that? That's another example of a higher supernatural law dominating a natural law, the law of reproductive biology, making Mary to be pregnant without the help of a man. Can you see that? Another example. Can you remember the story when the sons of the prophet, they said, oh, this place has become too small for us, let's get a bigger place. Then they went and borrowed an axe, and then they were cutting trees to enlarge their abode, and then something interesting happened. The axe head fell and it entered the river. Then they cried to the prophet, Prophet Elisha, they cried to him, say the axe head was borrowed. What? It's not even their own. Double trouble. But thank God the prophet was around. Elisha said, where fell it? Where did it fall? They say here. He caught a stick and put it there on the water, on the river. And then the axe head floated. Listen, miracles are not magic. Miracles happen when higher spiritual laws dominate lower natural laws. Miracles happen when higher supernatural laws, they temporarily displace and dominate lower natural laws. Now, the axe head that floated, how can you explain that? This is a metal. This is an iron. Are you listening? What happened to achievement this principle there? It was mesmerized. What happened to the law of flotation? It was suspended. Why? There is a higher supernatural law operating here. Am I communicating? Dominion over nature. When you hear some people say, I was a victim of circumstance. If you understand what I'm saying, that word will never come out of your mouth again. Victim of circumstance, when we've been given rod of power to rule and reign and dominate circumstances. We are victors over circumstances. We are not victims of circumstances, because we've been given the rod of power to rule and reign and dominate nature. Am I communicating? Even time is not against us. Stop saying time is against you. We can dominate time. Time is natural law. Listen, oh. When time is compressed, that's what we call speed, divine speed. When the anointing for supernatural speed comes upon you, it is dominion over time. Are you listening? When God says, I will restore to you the years that the canker worm have eaten. What? Did you hear that? The caterpillar, they eat years. Natural caterpillar, they eat what? Grass. But spiritual caterpillar, that's to tell you that. See, I'm teaching you how to understand Bible. Always meditate on what you are reading. He said, I will restore the years that the canker worm, the caterpillar have eaten. So ask yourself a question, which kind of caterpillar they eat years? That's to tell you that it's not this natural para, this one that you see. Atata. No, no, no. It's not natural caterpillar. These are demons, demonic devourers. They are responsible for wasted years. They eat up people's years. This kind of, they cut short some people's life. But there is an anointing, hey, that can restore wasted years. When the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, the Bible said he outran Ahab. What? Ahab was driving the best chariot to those days. Chariot, horses and chariot, they represent the peak of technology when it comes to transportation. The highest technology when it comes to transportation in their day and time is that chariot and horses. And the king's chariot and horses is a very special one. They import it from Egypt. It's usually the fastest and the best. Fast because of speed in terms of war, because the king must not die. So it has to be the fastest. Elijah had told Ahab, even before he went to Mount Carmel to pray, in 1 Kings 18, from verse 41 to 46, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He said, enter, be on your way. And then he may climb and put his head. Prayer is a supernatural law. It's a spiritual law. See, prayer will bear shatter. It will release power to bend the hand of time in your favor. It will compress time. Listen, the power of God can compress time. The power of God can extend and expand time, depending on which one you need, because time must favor you. When time is compressed, there is supernatural speed. He said, it shall come to pass, Amos 9:13, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes he that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop down with new wine. How can somebody that is in his pre-planting season, the plowman is the one that prepares the ground even before they plant crop. So it's not even planting season, no. He's in his pre-planting season. He said when that anointing comes upon him, it will compress time such that it will come and overtake the one that is in his harvest season. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. The reaper is in his harvest season. That's why you don't need to envy anybody. Hey, all my mates have gone ahead of me. All my mates have made it. All my... Calm down. Learn to do what Elijah did. The Bible says he put his head between his head. See, there is an unction that will come upon you. See, it will compress 10 years result and give you in one day. There is an anointing that can give to you the labors of 100 years. It will give you in 10 days. It's called the anointing for speed. Unction of an overtaker came upon Elijah after he had prayed. The Bible said the hand of the Lord came upon him. Listen, it's not he, you know, they say the rat race of life. It is not he who started first. It is he upon whose head the hand of the Lord comes upon. That's what decide the winner of the race. That's what decide the winner of the race of life. Let me ask you a question. Who left first? Who started the journey first? Ahab. Not, he didn't just leave. He was driving the best chariot and everything. But let me ask you a question. Upon who did the hand of the Lord come upon? And what happened? Katakidoba. The Bible says he outran. He overtook. That's the unction of an overtaker. He's coming upon somebody in this service. The results of 20 years. My God is compressing it. By this anointing for supernatural speed. What it took all that 20 years. God is giving you in less than 2 years. In the name of Jesus. Your result this year alone. With twice the result of 10 years. Put together. In the name of Jesus. Dominion over nature. This anointing can compress time. And then it can expand time. Depending on which one you need. When Joshua was in a battle and he needed extra 24 hours, he needed extra. He looked, he saw that the sun was about to go down, and he said, God, I need more time now to finish these enemies, to deal ruthlessly with them. And the Bible says he spoke to the Lord, and then after speaking to the Lord, he looked at the sun and the moon. He said, sun, stand still. You are the one that is analyzing the grammar. Listen, he did not know biology, but he knew spiritology. He knew biology. He knew anointology. He knew, are you listening? He said, hey, we later were taught in school that in biology, the sun is always standing still. It is the moon that moves around. Oh, but now you the talk English. Listen, faith can interpret the intent of the heart beyond the grammar. He said, sun, stand still. Moon, relax over the island of Ajalon. And the Bible said, time stood still. He froze time with his faith. The gift of faith, he froze time. And there was extra 24 hours that day. Even till today, somebody was trying to calculate the age of the earth. The computer kept skipping extra 24 hours. There was extra 24 hours because of what happened in the days of Joshua. It took a scientist that was a believer to explain to them how extra 24 hours was added by the faith of one man. I say faith and the anointing can compress time, can expand time. Remember, the law of faith is superior to natural laws. We will dominate natural laws by operating superior law of faith. Kelekute, how did time come into existence? Time is a creation of faith. Matter, space, time are all creation of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 2. By faith we understand the walls were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, including time, were made from the things we do appear. So the material universe is a faith product. Time is a faith product. So if time created faith, which one is superior? That's why time is subject to faith. Just like the servant has to be subject to his master. Kalabakasaya. Manteke poto barakataya. Are you listening? When Jesus multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes to feed a crowd of more than 20,000 people. He said 5,000 men. What about women? They didn't have women, no? And you know the Jews, they didn't even have children. Because women will not come alone. And you know women come for more meeting, especially when they are anointing day, than men. And then the women will not come alone, they will go with their children. Now, and you know the Jews are like in a breeding program. Somebody said the Muslim, they born. You the joke. They learned it from the Jews. The Jews, they born more than, you understand? They give birth more than football team. Football team, is it not 12 people? The Jews is like a breeding program. So when the Bible says Jesus fed 5,000 men, in your mind, stop counting 5,000. Add women, because there were women there. And then add children. The crowd will be 20,000 plus. How? What did he use? 5 loaves of bread, 2 small fishes. He broke the law of demand and supply. We have an economist here. How can you explain? By economic laws. How can you explain? By the forces, the market forces. All this English you are speaking, while your business is not making progress. My sister, apply power. My brother, power that business. Nothing is against you. Are you getting me? Jesus broke the law of demand and supply and fed multitude with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. When Jesus walked on water, he mesmerized Archimedes' principle. He mesmerized the law of flotation. He didn't even recognize the water. He had spared the anointing in the place of prayer. The disciples were gone in a ship and he needed to help them because there was a storm. He just started walking on water. Dominion over nature. Kalabakasaya. Let me pause it here. Next dimension. Dominion over Satan and the host of darkness. Dominion over demons and the devil himself, their master. Luke 10:19. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall the enemies hurt you. Listen, the second dimension of dominion we've been given is dominion over the devil and his host of demons. The devil has been thoroughly defeated. He has been eternally defeated. He has been completely defeated. He has been paralyzed. Jesus has given us the dominion over him. If you are a child of God, you have dominion over Satan. You have dominion over demons. Are you listening? Behold, I give unto you authority. Give me in NIV. That first power there is authority. Exousia in Greek. The Greek word is exousia. It's delegated power. The right or permission to use power. Authority means spiritual jurisdiction. He said, I've given you authority to trample on snakes. The first manifestation of Satan in the Bible was as a snake. How did he show up to deceive Eve? As a serpent. That's the first manifestation. Then we later read in the book of Revelation that what? The old serpent, the dragon. Are you listening? So when Jesus said, I give unto you authority to trample on snakes and then scorpions, these are all manifestations of demons. Somebody here, you'll be seeing snakes in your dream. Those are demons. If you see any of these things in the realm of the spirit, they are demons. But you don't need to fear them. The first rule is fear not. Remember, you have dominion over them. Use your authority. Use your power, your God-given authority and power in the name of Jesus. Don't be scared. Because the moment you function in fear, you are giving Satan power over you. Fear will open the door for demonic attack. Job said, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of has happened to me. So, sometimes before Satan strike, he will first show you what he is planning to do in a dream. And the moment you believe him and then start functioning in fear, you will now authorize him to bring it to pass. Then you now hear people say, ah, it has happened as I dreamt. No, sir, no, ma. It has happened as you feared that it will happen. Because it was the fear that empowered the devil to bring it to pass. So when you dream those Yeshua's dream, is it, when you dream a dream, ask yourself, is this the will of God? Is it in line with the word of God? If the answer is no, change it. You have the power to change it. Cancel it. Then declare what is supposed to happen. What does the Bible say? Am I communicating? You dream that you died. The Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you. The will of God says, you shall not die but live. You know that that dream is not from God. So what do you do? Don't function in fear. No. Don't believe that lie you saw in the dream. No. Rather believe the word of God. And start praying it, prophesying it, and then release your faith. Make declaration. Cancel that yeye dream. Am I communicating? Somebody here, an end has come to those nightmares, those oppression in your dream. It is ending tonight. That yoke is broken of bad dreams in the name of Jesus. Dominion over devils. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in my authority, they shall cast out devils. So if Jesus said, in my name or in my authority, they will cast out devils, that means you are superior to those devils. Because if they are greater than you, you won't be able to cast them out. So the fact that Jesus said, you will cast them out in my name, it shows that you are operating with a higher authority. You are greater than them. Stop fearing devils. Iloko barakataya. You move around like a lion. You are the real lion. The Bible says that moves around like a roaring like you, because he's trying to counterfeit the real thing. But you are the real lion, because we belong to the tribe of lion. Jesus is called the lion of the tribe of Judah, and we are his brethren. So we have the lionic genes, lionic chromosome, lionic genomics. And the Bible says, the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth him, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. One of the characteristics of lion is boldness, audacity, courage, confidence. Fear no devil. They have been defeated, and the victory is yours. When they rise up their ugly head against you, crush them. Crush them with the rod of power. Am I communicating? Ikaliko barakataya. Embrekete. Next dimension of dominion. Dominion over diseases and sicknesses. Dominion over diseases and sicknesses. Matthew 10:1. Then Luke 9:1. Matthew 10:1. Very fast. Dominion over diseases and sicknesses. Matthew 10:1. Shabalataya. And when Jesus had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Power. Somebody say power. Power against unclean spirits. They are called unclean spirits. A lot of sicknesses are caused by these unclean spirits. Spirits of infirmity, demon spirits, they are responsible for a lot of sicknesses. Am I communicating? Keligo barakataya. See, demons, Satan is responsible for most cases of sickness, whether directly or indirectly. So when you deal with that demonic root, the sickness will leave. Am I communicating? When you cast out those demons with power, the sickness is, even the medical treatment in the hospital will start working. The patient will start recovering. By the time you have dealt with the demons, you've casted it out. Are you listening? The reason why some patients are not responding to treatment in the hospital is because the demons that is behind it is still there. It's still there. And that one, know they show for scan. You know they show for x-ray machine. You collect blood sample. Will you see under, you see demons under microscope? You are joking. That one, know they show there. Now only power, the power will fry them out. Am I communicating? Some people, they are sick, they take drug, take this one, nothing is working. You have to deal with the root first. Am I communicating? Then recovery will happen, with or without the medicine. Now listen, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out, to ekbalo them, eject them, force them out, to heal all manner. Somebody say all manner of sickness. There are no incurable diseases with God. cancer, HIV, diabetes, name it, there are no incurable disease. He said to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of what? Disease. Dominion. Jesus has given us dominion over sickness and disease. Then Luke 9 verse 1. Luke 9 verse 1. Give me Luke 9 verse 1. Shabarakata. Are you getting blessed? We'll soon pray. He said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. How many devils? Hey, this was what I meditated on and saw some years back as a copper in Zuru. Light from heaven shined upon my head as if they turn on a floodlight, like this neon light. And for the first time, I saw my authority and dominion over devils. That word all stood out all radiant to me. And like a lion, I arose from my chair. I even came out of my room in the night. I was looking for Satan. I was looking for demons. Every fear disappeared. He gave them power. Go back and meditate on this scripture. All those demons chasing you in your dream, the opposite will start happening in your dream. You will be the one chasing them. By the time this truth enters your spirit, you know your spiritual condition will show even in your dream. Yes, your spiritual state will be reflected in your dream. So if you be living in fear, it will show in your dream. That's why they will always be chasing you. Fear, fear, fear. They press your neck today. Use hot water. Tomorrow, your leg. You see, you need to sit down with the word. Let some truth enter you. He said, the spirit entered into me. Let the lion in you arise. I put an end to that rubbish. Am I communicating? To rub the nose of the devil inside mud. You need to feed on some kind of diet of champions. Are you listening? There are some messages you should sit with them until they enter you. You listen once, twice. Say, I was around when Papa preached it. As he entered, the Bible said, the entrance of that word giveth light. Until your life is producing the fruit of that message, the thing has not entered you. You only heard through your ear. It came out like this. Until there is a transformation, the thing has not entered. Are you listening? There are messages I've listened to 100 times. I'm still listening to them. Sometimes you don't even need too many messages. Stay with one until the thing enters. Yes, you stay with it. There are some scripture I'm meditating on them for 1 month. I never see finish. Just one verse, one, not two. It has to enter. The children of Israel, they will beat manna, pana beat manna until oil come out. Manna represents the word of God. You beat it, you ruminate on it, you ponder on it, you meditate until the oil come out, enter you. Until the anointing inside that scripture, the power that is prepackaged comes out. And it will turn you into a lion. You become like a drunkard. Is it not the same? How do they make kunu? What do they use? They can use dawa, they can use corn. Ginime. Is it not the same dawa they used to prepare kunu? The same dawa, the kunu, after a while will become pito. You continue the fermentation process. After some days, the pito will become BKT. What is it called? Help me. Brukutu. Now you can, it's the same product too. You can take kunu and be normal. You can even take pito and be well, be normal. But when you take concentrated BKT, that the ethanolic content has come out through the fermentation process, that it has been brewed, local brewery. When you take that one, one gora, you understand, until your vision start changing, even your step, your perception, you can't be normal. Yeah, now that you see, it shows you how some people feed on God's word. Some people feed on the word of God. All they get is kunu. That's why nothing changes. Some take and then they are better than the kunu people. Some they go a step further. The kunu are those reading the word. The pito are those studying the word. But their life is still not changed. Studying is better, it's on a higher level. But you can read and study, your life is not transformed. But when you come to the third level, and that is where your life starts changing, you know, it's called meditation. You sit with the truth like this. Ayagaliga bagada. So it takes chronic meditation. You don't even need too many scriptures, just one verse. He gave them power. Song is changing. I don't have, not enough. Bakudi, Bakudi, that song is changing. You are moved supernaturally from the realm of not enough to the realm of more than enough. You are moved from the realm of shortages to the realm of surplus. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord it is that maketh rich and added no sorrow. Can you shout amen? It takes power to walk in financial dominion. 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, and God is able. By the time you obey those kingdom financial laws, giving and all of that, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, mark that word always. What's the meaning of always? It's talking financial dominion. Listen, in this end time, we will not only speak in tongues, we will speak in cash. I say we will speak abundantly, not just in other tongues, but abundantly in cash. champions are rising. You know, in boxing they have featherweight, they have lightweight. It is in levels, it's in degrees. There is featherweight, there is lightweight, then there is heavyweight. You may be a financial featherweight champion now, no problem. You are moving to the next level. From featherweight, you will be shifted to lightweight. Maybe you are handling some hundreds of thousands, you know, small millions here and there. But there is a realm of heavyweight in which, listen, billions become like 10 naira to you. You'll be giving out millions as if you are giving 10 naira. Wait. When, let's say you buy something in the shop and then your change is meant 10 naira and then they say there is no change, no 10 naira to give you. And you look at your time, they are wasting your time, say, I dash you. Do you know, there is a realm that God will bring you that 100 million will look like 10 naira. Because of the multiple billions that you are kinging over. Are you listening? The same way people give out 5 naira to children, buy sweets, buy 10 naira, you know, you'll be giving out millions, tens of millions. Somebody say financial, somebody is asking in his mind, with this my condition, is that impossible? It is over possible. And you are entering them beginning from today. Then the last dimension we pray is dominion over death. Dominion over death, the hell and the grave. Dominion over death, the spirit of death. Death is a spirit, not just an event. Dominion over death, hell and the grave. Give me Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15. Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also likewise took part of the same, that through death, that's through his death on the cross, he might destroy him that had. H-A-D. Which tense is had? So, in other words, he no longer has it. Jesus has finished the devil that had the power of death. He said that he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. The devil used to have the authority to kill people. He used to have the power of death. Adam gave it to him when he sold out the dominion over the earth realm. He was the one that handed over that power to the devil. But guess what? The good news is that Jesus has stripped him of that authority. Jesus, when he died, he went to hell. He conquered Satan. Satan lost at home. You remember that message? He yeyerized the devil, made a public spectacle, and he stripped him of all the authority, including the power of death. Authority of death. So he's no longer with him. Next verse. That word destroy is katagio. It means to bring to naught. Aya. He said, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. This is how Satan kills people today. Through the fear of what? He no longer has the power of death. So his new weapon is a fear of what? Death. That's what gives him permission to strike. That's why I say refuse to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody here, you will not die. You will not die. That sickness will not kill you. That fear, I bind the spirit of fear that is telling you that you will not live past 60 or 70 years. I bind that spirit of fear. You will live long and live strong. In the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says God, Jesus has tested death for every man. Is it Hebrews 2 verse 9? Give me Hebrews 2 verse 9. If I'm not mistaken, he says Jesus has tasted death. He said, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and crowned with glory and honor, that he might, by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. When Jesus died on that cross, he has tasted death for you. He died your death. He died so that you will live. Jesus died so that you will live. He tasted death for every man. What's the meaning of every? Does that include you? So no devil has the right to kill you. In Revelation 1:18, when John saw Jesus, Jesus told him, I am he that was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. He said, and I have the keys of hell and death. When did he collect the keys? When he conquered Satan in hell, he collected the key. And key means authority. So fear no devil. I bind that fear of accident. That your dream will not come to pass. That negative dream will not come to pass. You will not just live and enter 2024. You will live and enter 2025. You will live and enter 2026. You will continue to live until rapture. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy anyone tormented by the spirit of death, by the rod of power and scepter of authority, I decree and declare, you shall not die but live. Let the yoke of the spirit of death be broken. In the name of Jesus, as a parent here, you will not bury your children. You will not bury your children. You will not weep again. You will not mourn anybody in your family. I bind the spirit of death. In the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55. It says, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Next verse. It says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Look at 57. This is where I'm going. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Victory over what? Victory over death. Victory over sin. Victory over the grave. Can you shout amen? We are not victims. Can you shout a big amen? Let your amen roar like thunder. Do we have people with dominion in the house with the rod of power? Oh, God told me he's going to hand over to people the rod of power and scepter of authority for you to rule and reign. Can you rise to your feet? You are going to lift up your voice in a few. We have very few minutes to pray. Katakida, and as we pray, I hear a noise. I hear the sound. I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a noise and a shaking. And bone came together. Some things are coming together for you. Your answers are arriving in this service. Your answers are not arriving, they have come. I say your answers have come. Now lift up your voice and begin to enforce your victory. Shekete. Dominating with the rod of power. Say, I begin to walk in dominion. I begin to walk in dominion over demoniac forces. Dominion over sickness, over disease. Dominion over the spirit of death, over the hell, over the grave. Like toke dila kapa, ela bakapa. I walk in dominion over nature, over natural laws. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor over circumstances. Lift up your voice. Ah. verse 7 rather. Psalm 66 verse 7. He ruleth by his power forever. I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, release into my hands now the rod of power for me to rule my world. The prayer point is very, listen, I'm seeing five people that as you pray this prayer, God is going to release, I'm seeing the angels now, they are releasing your whole rod of power. As scepter of authority, you begin to feel the power of God on your hands, tangibly, a tangible anointing is called the rod of power. As scepter of authority, for you to rule and reign in life, to walk in dominion, to dominate your world, he rules by his power forever. Father, I receive the impartation of the power to rule, power to dominate. Go ahead and pray with the whole of your heart. Make sure you are praying.
satanic stagnation. And I see the Lord release the anointing for supernatural speed. The anointing for divine speed and acceleration is coming upon these three people. They may even start running. Malatis of Beketia, that yoke of demonic delay, it is breaking, breaking. Satanic stagnation, the propelling power of the Spirit is coming upon you as I speak. You begin to run, you begin to fly, you begin to soar. Take it now, take it now. Alayabakasataya. The anointing for speed is coming upon your feet. The speed of Jehovah is resting upon your feet. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. You will mount up with wings as eagles. As I speak, the power of God is coming upon them. The anointing to overtake. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now.
Upon people, upon you.
healings in this service. There are people that are already healed. If you check yourself, you will realize some of the symptoms you came with are no longer there. Then there are those that their own healing is still in progress. Then there are those I need to lay my hands upon. Listen, the power of God is greater than your sickness. And your sickness, your pain will bow to the power of God. And among those people I saw healed, I saw a lot of women. I saw a lot of women. I saw a lot of women. If you are a woman, you came here. I also saw women that came with their children. Now, if you came here sick, I want you to put your hands wherever the sickness is. I'm about to minister to the sick. There are healing angels all over this hall. And as I speak, the angels are enforcing the healing. As I speak, the angels of the Lord are touching your bodies. They are touching your minds. They are touching wherever the sickness is. They are attacking the problem from the very root. I want you to put your hands wherever the pain is, wherever the sickness is, wherever your condition is. I see growth melting. The fire of God is melting every tumor. The fire of God is melting every tumor. Whether it is breast lump, breast swelling, or swelling in any part of your body, the power of God is melting every growth, every tumor. I see the power of God melting evil fibroids. Melting evil fibroids. It will die. Every growth, every swelling, be it lump, be it cancer, be it tumor, be it fibroid, by the fire of the Holy Ghost, it is melting. Like wax, it is melting. It is dematerialized. In the name of Jesus, it's passing out of your body. In the name of Jesus. Now put your hands wherever the issue is. The pain, the sickness is. I'm about to pray in mass for the sick now. Then lift up your which one now? Put your left hand wherever the pain or the sickness is. Then lift up your right hand. I'm talking to those that came with one or two ailments. Lift up your right hand. Put your left hand wherever the issue is. If the issue is on your leg, put it there. If it's back, put it. If it's in your abdomen or your liver or anywhere, put it. If it's in your heart, your chest, put it there. If you are feeling headache or something, put it on your head. If you're having eye problem, you can't see well, or partial blindness, or you are blind, or you are having itchy eyes, or you're having short-sightedness or long-sightedness, whatever it is, eye condition, put your hand there. If you're having hearing problem, you can't hear well, or you can't hear at all, or you're having pain or discharge, anything, put your hand there. Are you ready for this prayer? I want your amen to be sounding like thunder. As I pray, because every unclean spirit is leaving you now. Every unclean spirit is leaving your body now. Every spirit of infirmity that followed you here is checking out of your body now. The fire of the Holy Ghost is burning them off. Burning off every sickness. Burning off every pain. Miracle fire is burning off everything my Father has not planted in your body. Are you ready for this? Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every sickness, over the spirit of infirmity, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. I believe the healing power of God upon your body. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the pain. I rebuke the sickness. Diabetes, I bind the spirit of diabetes. getting healed now. That pain in your leg is getting healed now. That arthritis pain on your joint is leaving you now. In the name of Jesus, I pray every condition for ulcer, every peptic ulcer condition, every abdominal condition, every typhoid, every malaria, every hepatitis, every HIV, blood disease, sickle cell anemia, liver condition, heart condition, leukopathy, kidney condition, hear my voice. In the name of Jesus, I cast out those spirits of infirmity. Be healed right now. I speak life to your body. I command the ulcer to go. I command the chest condition to leave. I release the healing power of God upon your heart. I release the healing power of God upon your body, upon your liver, upon your kidneys. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Every infection, be healed right now. No more discharge. No more pelvic pain. No more painful menstruation. No more excessive blood flow during your menses. Be healed right now. Every blood condition, be healed now. I cause HIV. I cause hepatitis. Die and pass out of your body. I cause every cancer. Let it die, dematerialize, and pass out of your body. In the name of Jesus. If I just pray for you now, rush forward. Let me lay my hands to seal the healing. Rush forward. If I just pray for you right now, rush forward. And as you are coming forward, put your hand wherever the condition was. Some of you are already healed. Why some of you need a touch? I saw a harvest of miracles, healings. I saw so many healings. I just pray for you, come forward. Put your hands wherever the condition is. As I lay my hands on you, the healing is permanent. The power of God comes upon you, and every symptom begins to disappear. Every spirit of infirmity leaves you now. And I endeavor, please ensure you testify. Liko barakata. The rest of you, can you stretch out your hands towards them and begin to pray? Don't just be a spectator. Liko poteke breketia. Kalabako sukande kepa. Financiers, there are some of you, God have called you to be a kingdom financier, as in God is going to commit wealth into your hands
for the sake of the kingdom. Yes, kingdom billionaires, kingdom millionaires, not the ones that are greedy and selfish and are using it. It's not materialism. I'm talking of kingdom financiers. Those that God will commit kingdom wealth. I think it was last service. God gave us a word. He said he's raising 5 billionaires. That was last service. And he even told us one of them. Where is Stephas? Come. I'm going to pray for you. Start here. I'm going to pray. I don't know the other 4. Then I don't know. Maybe the number just increased. Am I communicating? I don't know the number of millionaires. But there are some of you that you have that calling to be a kingdom financier. I want you to stretch forth your hands. You know yourself, stretch forth your hands. Those that God is committing kingdom wealth to for the sake of advancing his kingdom agenda and promoting the cause of the gospel. Stretch forth your hands. Stretch forth your hands. Wherever you are, stretch forth. Where is Miracle Olavi? Come and join them. Stretch forth your hands. Stretch forth your hands. Where is Patience in them? Come and join them. Stretch forth your hands. Lee Koba. Now, these are not the only ones who are. I'm only calling those that the Lord is calling in my spirit. Now, there may be many others, but as I pray, the power of God will rest upon you. Are you listening? As I pray, the power of God will rest upon you wherever you are. Some of you, you will sow your first 1 million naira this year. Some of you, you will sow your first 5 million naira seed this year. Some of you, you will start tithing in millions. I'm telling you, the power to conquer billions, to conquer millions, the power to get wealth is resting upon you tangibly. Tangibly, tangibly. The anointing, Innocent, join them. Peter, join them. The anointing for wealth and prosperity. Come. MD, join them. The anointing for kingdom wealth and prosperity is resting upon you tangibly. Are you listening? Now spread forth your hands. Say, Father, I want you to pray this prayer aggressively. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive the oil of wealth, the anointing to prosper, the anointing to conquer millions, to conquer billions. I receive it now. Lift up your voice and cry out to God. Some of you may not look like it right now, but it does not change anything. This man, Genesis, come, join them. Manda kapata, liko pose pila kapateni, erude kebalataya. Where is Moses? Come and join them very fast. Lia pate sido kote lida, branda kapatai. Where is Rose? Come and join them. Where is Esther? Come and join them. Ila Kapatia La Petete Retekose Pila Kapai. Kingdom financiers are rising. Kingdom financial giants are rising. They are rising from this assembly. Kingdom millionaires, the oil of wealth and prosperity is resting upon them. Kapate barakapata, brateke poko prekete, eko poko to prokoto, lapake to proskete ketila, akabakate eloko prakata, ikabakata sambalante, imbrakata. These are not the only ones. There are some in the congregation. As I pray, the power of God will rest upon you. Ila batose bilakata, eleke prekete ke prekete. Those of you in front, stretch forth your hands. The oil of wealth, the angels of wealth, they are touching you now. Take it now. Lika baka 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 tai. Conquer millions. Lido boko sigi digi palagadi. Ejila kapata. Take it now. Chele
prophecies God gave me specifically. As I read it out, I want your amen to be shouting like roaring like thunder. This is the last thing we will do. Lead those before we take some testimonies. We take altar call and then some testimony. Are you ready for this? As I pray, the power of God will be touching you. The angels of God will be running swiftly to enforce my word. I want you to respond with your amen, shouting, roaring like thunder. In the name of Jesus, God is silencing every storm confronting you right now. Every storm confronting your family. My God is calming every storm right now. In the name of Jesus. Listen. Every mountain of difficulty and affliction that you came here with, by the power of the Holy Ghost, it is melting like wax. The fire of God is melting every mountain. Every affliction tormenting you and your family, in the name of Jesus. My God is exalting your horn. Your horn represents strength. Horn represents power. Horn represents authority. Horn represents influence. And in this MHIS encounter, I see God exalting your horn. I see God exalting your sphere of influence. God is exalting your authority. God is releasing fresh oil. He's releasing fresh fire upon you. And in the name of Jesus, God is handing over to you, I've said this before, the rod of power and scepter of authority with which you will rule, you will reign, you will dominate your world. I decree the release of the rod of power. Take the scepter of authority now. Begin to walk in dominion and rulership. In the name of Jesus. Listen to this. God is releasing upon you a heavy impartation of tangible power to tame demonic forces, power to swallow up and subdue wicked forces arrayed against you and your family. I decree and declare, receive the impartation of that power now. And in the name of Jesus, in this encounter, God will answer you with terrible things in righteousness. I say, God is answering you speedily. On this mountain, you will receive your answers with speed. Your long-awaited answers have come. By this fresh fire impartation, you will start operating with a higher bandwidth of power. You will start operating with a higher threshold of power. And in the name of Jesus, you are ascending to higher dimensions of power that will tame wickedness, that will subdue and swallow up demonic forces in your life and in your family. If you are receiving, you will shout a loud amen. Listen to this. Listen to this. You are ascending and experiencing quantum leaps into new levels of authority and power. In the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you are moving from every tight place into your large place. You are moving from every tight place into your large place, into your wealthy place. In the name of Jesus. Somebody here, you are deeply in debt and you don't know how to come out. Listen, God say, I should tell you, by this power of the Holy Ghost, the Lord is breaking that yoke of debt, the yoke of chronic indebtedness, and the power of God is are supernaturally shifted from the realm of scarcity into the realm of surplus prosperity. You are feeding fat supernaturally. Listen, even in the midst of biting famine and economic recession, you will always have enough to give and to spare. You are feeding fat in plenty.
Every opposing and restricting wall of Jericho, every barrier of limitation, in the name of Jesus, they are collapsing like a pack of cards before you. They are falling to the ground suddenly. Barriers are broken. Oppositions are crushed to powder. Restrictions and resistance are removed. You are making unstoppable progress in this season. No devil can stop your progress and breakthrough. Listen, every negative and evil cycle of pain, cycle of calamity, cycle of tragedies, cycle of recurrent failure, recurrent frustration, cycle of perpetual struggle, in the name of Jesus, by the rod of power, that evil demonic cycle is broken. I command it to be broken now. In the name of Jesus. Every demonic chain of oppression, bondage and captivity, they are completely broken to pieces. In the name of Jesus, by the rod of power and scepter of authority, they are swallowed up in victory. Shalabakoso pretete is a new day for you. It's a new season for you. In this month, you begin to have multiplied encounters. Encounters with God Himself. Encounters with the Holy Ghost. Encounters with the angels of God. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. The angels will orchestrate things for your favor. In the name of Jesus, angels are imparting wisdom to you. The Holy Ghost is releasing wisdom upon you. Encounters that will impart wisdom. Wisdom for solution provision. Wisdom to solve problems. Wisdom to create value. Wisdom to meet human needs. Wisdom to know what to do. That will pilot and program your life for success and greatness. Receive it now. Thank you, Father. Lift up your hands and begin to appreciate Him. All eyes closed, all heads bow. If you know you are in this place, and you know if rapture should happen now, if Jesus should come now, you are not sure of going with Him. You know your ways are not right with God. You want to make your ways right with Jesus. You want a new relationship with Jesus. Or perhaps you gave your life to Christ before, but you went back to the world. You want to be restored. You want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You want to completely dedicate your life to Him. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. Lift up your right hand. There's nothing to be shy. There's nothing to be ashamed. Jesus died for you openly. He died for you on the cross, a shameful death. Yes, God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. Lift up your right hand. If you are lifting up your hand, can you come to Jesus? God bless you. Those of you lifting up your hand, take another step of faith. Please, ushers, protocol, direct them as they come forward. Come to Jesus. This is the most important part of this service. Jesus said there is joy in heaven over any sinner that comes to Him. Yes, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Celebrate Jesus as they come. Oh yes, He said, come and receive a new life. Come and have a new beginning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, those of you in front, this is the most important decision you can ever make. I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it with the whole of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, Oh, there is a little lady coming too. Wow, wow, what a harvest. What a harvest. What a harvest. I want you to say this prayer. Please say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sins. And on the third day, you were raised to give me life. I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. From today, I choose to serve you. No going back. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. Wow. What a glorious, glorious, glorious harvest. Now, this is the most important decision. I want you to know you are not a child of God. You are a new creature. Let me pray for you. Then you go and meet our pastor. He will put you through. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for your children. You said anyone that comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. I decree the yoke of sin and Satan is broken off their life. In the name of Jesus, I release them to serve God, to worship God in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name. Wow.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlong-King or to partner with us, please visit www.hmionline.com. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.